Thank you. first reading from today. For today will be the poem Wallpaper from the book Tragic Faggot Syndrome by the poet Thax Douglas. And I'll just be reading an excerpt. I was masturbating just now on my sofa because there was this really boring movie on, and my brain used the video wallpaper as a trampoline to leap into one of my most recurrent fantasies. In this fantasy, I'm real tall and skinny, like a normal-sized person, but I'm all stretched out. In this fantasy, me, or the man I'm dreaming about, is all young and rosy, and I don't know what color his hair is, but he has very blonde skin. Or like the skin on a cool chocolate pudding, a tall, skinny, dark brown guy laying on his back on the grass and whining vulnerably like a puppy in falsetto. The boy is running in some refrigerated landscape, say New Hampshire, gold turning to rust, autumn, and the erotic tension is in the boy's thighs, and you can see the muscles in his thighs churning like pistons. And as I'm seeing this, my lungs churn and rise like dough rising in a humid kitchen. And in this main erotic interest is the blood rising from the surface, trying to keep the surface of the skin warm. And even though he's sweating, his skin is chill and clammy and tender like the protective mucus film of civilization, lovingly enveloping our moaning, violent, exasperated brains. And I hear a voice murmuring like a voiceover in the great Spanish cathedral of darkness inside my head that this guy, no matter how much he eats, no matter how much he ingests or absorbs, it's not enough to support the fierce metabolism of his burning being, the pilot light of his soul, his thirst for faith. The final scene shows him lying on his back on the gravel on the side of the road, breathing way too hard, gasping for faith, taking the first steps on the long yellow brick road of rot. And that's where my fantasy blacks out. I come just at the acidic etched line of my life where the personality, or desperate lack of personality, I feel is the very absence on the other side of the wall of death is a vivid presence. Gaudy and glaring like peonies blooming, and I can't resist sticking my tongue in the hollow tooth, deep as a well, and soaking in the pain that reverberates there like two satellite dishes reflecting off of each other, building up feedback.
Dead gate home, alone in there.
Second reading today is from the New York Times, an article called The Epidemic of Facelessness, published February 15th, 2015. And again, I'm just reading an excerpt. The connection between the face and ethical behavior is one of exceedingly rare instances in which French phenomenology and contemporary neuroscience coincide in their conclusions. A 2009 study by Marco Iacoboni, a neuroscientist at the Amundsen Lovelace Brain Mapping Center in the University of California, Los Angeles, explained the connection. Through imitation and mimicry, we are able to feel what other people feel. By being able to feel what other people feel, we are also able to respond compassionately to other people's emotional states. The face is the key to the sense of intersubjectivity, linking mimicry and empathy through mirror neurons, the brain mechanism that creates imitation even in non-human primates. The connection goes the other way too. Inability to see a face is, in the most direct way, inability to recognize shared humanity with another. In a meta-study of antisocial populations, the inability to sense the emotions on the other people's faces was a key correlation. There is a consistent, robust link between antisocial behavior and impaired recognition of fearful facial affect. Relative to comparison groups, antisocial populations showed significant impairments in recognizing fearful, sad, and surprised expressions. A recent study in the Journal of Vision showed that babies between the age of 4 months and 6 months recognized human faces at the same level as grown adults, an ability which they did not possess for other objects. Without a face, the self can form only with the rejection of all otherness, with a generalized, all-purpose contempt, a contempt that is so vacuous because it is so vague, and so ferocious because it is so vacuous. A world stripped of faces is a world stripped, not merely of ethics, but of the biological and cultural foundations of ethics. For the great existentialist Martin Heidegger, the spirit of homelessness defined the 20th century, a disconnected drifting in a world of groundless artificiality. The spirit of facelessness is coming to define the 21st. Facelessness is not a trend. It is a social phase we are entering that we have not yet figured out how to navigate. Our third and final reading of the day, the Gospel, if you will, comes from Jean Baudrillard. It's an essay, excerpt from an essay called The Rituals of Transparency. The uncertainty of existing and consequently the obsession of proving our existence prevail over desire that is strictly sexual. If sexuality is putting our identity on the line down to the fact of having children, then we are really no longer in a position to devote ourselves to this task. For we are too preoccupied with saving our identity to undertake anything else. What matters above everything else is proving our existence, even if that is its only meaning. This can be seen in the recent graffiti in New York or Rio. The preceding generation said, "I exist, my name is so-and-so, I live in New York." These signs were pregnant with meaning, which even if almost allegorical, was that of the name. More recent graffiti is purely graphic and undecipherable. Implicitly, it still says, "I exist," yet simultaneously, "I have no name, I have no meaning, I have nothing to say." The need to speak, even if one has nothing to say, becomes more pressing when one has nothing to say, just as the will to live becomes more urgent when life has lost its meaning. As a result, sexuality is relegated to a position of secondary importance, to an already luxurious form of transcendence, of a waste of existence, while the absolute urgency is simply to verify this existence.